I'm Amy, and this is the truth. I am an addict. Wow, this is like frightening, y'all. I didn't expect this big a crowd. Before I get started, I'd like to thank all the people that came from Galveston to support me. And I would like to thank everybody for being here, because without you, I'm lost. So they gave me a topic, and I got it confused, so I just studied everything that pertained to hope, because, you know, I wanted to pass the test and make sure that I got everybody's approval. But when I got here, Julie helped me narrow it down some. Let's see. I'm going to start by reading a little bit. This is from The Gift of Hope, page 215 in the Living Clean book. And the line that stood out to me on this is, telling the truth about ourselves doesn't just set us free. Our example frees others. And that means a lot to me, because I'm 50 years old now, and I went to my first meeting when I was 17 years old. And at that meeting, I heard people telling the truth about themselves. I heard George T. using more cuss words than regular words. And I hadn't even gotten started on my addiction yet, but I felt at home. And I stuck around for a number of years without working steps, just because I felt at home. You know, you guys were saying the things that I was thinking. And I had never heard anybody talk like that out loud before. And I'd listen to you share, and you'd share good stuff about all the hard times you had been through, and all the things that you had to deal with, and the family problems and the legal problems, and all this stuff that I couldn't relate to. And I remember thinking, wow, you know, I'll never be that cool. You know? because I didn't have any wreckage yet. So, you know, fast forward another decade and I had some wreckage. Finally got what I wanted. But I want to talk about the gift of hope. Okay. So my mom used to say that if it rained I would drown, because my nose was so far in the air and my chin was stuck so far out. And I was just stubborn. I knew everything, and the things I didn't know, I could prove that you didn't know them either. And I would argue until you got tired and left. Right? I was in treatment, 27 years old, had finally hit the bottom. And my sponsor was picking me up on pass to do steps at her house. And we're sitting there doing the steps, and, you know, which was kind of a wasted effort because I had all the answers, right? And we're trying to do step two. And, you know, I wrote down all the appropriate answers, and I went through the book and I highlighted and I did my definitions of words I didn't understand. And we got all the way through that, and then she still wanted to talk. And I'm thinking, you know, okay, what's this now? Because I did everything right. And I'm telling her about something to do with good parenting or something. And she corrected me, and I'm like, no, you know, I'm right about this because blah, 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 blah. And she was like, well, no, it's this way. And I argued with her for a few minutes. And then I watched her kind of cross her arms and sit back. And she checked her watch. And I knew in that moment that she could only take me as far as I would go, right? So I'm looking at her and I'm trying to maintain my sense of pride, of feeling good enough, of feeling smart enough, important enough, and I'm trying to save my life at the same time. And I said, wait a minute. She said, what time do you go back to treatment? I said, wait a minute. I'm wrong. Can you explain this to me? And she said, well, and then she explained it to me. And because I was a little bit humble in that moment, I was able to listen. And she was actually right. Like, and I would have bet anything that I was right. So a couple of things happened in that same few seconds. It occurred to me that if I could be that wrong about something I was sure of, that I could be wrong about everything in my entire life, right? I could be wrong that life was just hard and I was never going to be able to do it right, okay? I could be wrong that God is just something people say, okay? I could be wrong that life sucks and some people get to use and then some people don't, but life's going to suck just as bad either way. That's the thinking I came in here with, right? So in that moment, I realized that if I was mistaken, that there might be some hope. And then we got on our knees. and I didn't plan it this way, but we got on our knees and we did the third step. And that was the beginning of hope for me. You know, I was reading this another part in here on page 17. I had longer arms when I first got here. Let's see. Vision of hope. Okay, when we are spiritually awake, we are willing to see clearly. We recognize the habits of mind that lead us back to the same feelings over and over, regardless of what's happening around us, until we stamp it with the name excitement or fear. The feeling can be identical. Making a choice in how we describe our experience gives us a choice in how we experience our lives. And, you know, I really didn't want to find out that I was making a choice and that that's what I had chosen. I've said this before, but if I had a genie in a bottle and they popped out and they gave me 10 wishes, I would sell myself short 10 times. Okay? That's what my imagination can do. So in working these steps, you know, getting the hope to work these steps, I've been able to let you guys and my higher power and something bigger than me reimagine my life with an imagination that doesn't sell me short. Because if I'm in charge, we're going to miss out, right? So I need you guys in my life. You know, that's the way you guys help me, is you help me see what I can't see yet. You help me look at things a different way. So I'll tell one more little story. I was fresh in and, you know, came in the doors with my life falling apart. And this nice lady sat down to talk to me for a little while. I asked her, please talk to me, because I thought she had something to do with counseling and maybe she could help me. And so we're sitting outside a meeting and I'm telling her, you know, my life is falling apart. I'm waiting to get into treatment And my mom had the audacity to kick me out. And I'm actually willing to go to treatment, but she still kicked me out. And to add insult to injury, she said, "You've got to go, but your son can stay." And I think she's trying to take my son, you know. And I'm just, you know, unloading on this woman. And she said, "Okay, so let me see if I've got this right. You're about to get into treatment, and your mom's willing to watch your son for you while you go to treatment so that you don't have to have CPS in your life." And she took my entire conversation and pointed out the good, okay? And I had literally never looked for that before. So in that moment, I realized that everything that my parents had done for me up to that point had been by choice. They didn't have to. And a lot of parents don't. And she definitely didn't have, she had every reason not to. Our lives were not easy, right? So, you know, she did so good with what she had. They did so good with what they had, they deserve a medal. Okay? And because they weren't all, you know, they were like me. So for the first time, I'm sitting there with this lady and my perception starts to shift. And everything around me looks different. And I stand up from that conversation and I feel like I'm a foot taller. And it dawns on me that this might be what it feels like to walk on my own 2 feet and be a grown-up, right? And I caught a bus to my mom's job as fast as I could get on that bus so that I could go thank her, right? For the first time ever. So that day I experienced gratitude for the first time ever. And I always say, you know, if you're new and you came here because people want you to stop using, because it's causing you problems, you know, that's the prerequisite. The step one is the only one I have to take 100%, and that's honesty, and I can't be honest and high at the same time, right? So that's the prerequisite. But everything that happens after that is what keeps me coming back. That's the hope. That's the difference between drugs and addiction. I'm an addict. You know, I suffer from many, 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 many things, and I tried to use drugs to treat it, but it didn't work, right? Freedom from active addiction in all of its many forms that it takes for me. There's nothing about me that could have come up here and done this. So thank y'all very much.